Well, good morning, Harvest. Thanks, guys, for bringing that out. Also distracting me now the whole message. That right there, that Portillo's chocolate cake. I will try to not look down there too much. Well, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Still Thanksgiving weekend. This is a Thanksgiving message. We can move on to Christmas next week if you want to. But for now, we're in Thanksgiving. We're going to do Psalm 111 on thanks. What does this mean to be thankful? All right, here it is. Open up your Bibles. Get ready to dig in. Psalm 111. Now, I've been thinking for a few weeks about this message, knowing that I had the opportunity to preach this holiday weekend, and I was looking for a great Thanksgiving message. I ran across Psalm 111, and I got to tell you, the very first verse convicted me, and it's what I've been feasting on here for the last couple of weeks. Psalm 111, verse 1, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. And every time I see that in Scripture, it just kind of stops me. Whether it's I'll serve the Lord with my whole heart, or love the Lord with my whole heart, or follow the Lord with my whole heart, or here I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, that's always a bit of a stop for me. Because I have to ask myself, is that true for me? So can I say, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart? That if I searched every dark corner of my heart, if you brought up every person, every circumstance, every situation, I could immediately say, I am thankful. Is that me? Well, I got to tell you that it wasn't me when I first started reading this psalm. That I was even on Thanksgiving Day struggling to say, I am thankful to the Lord with my whole heart. It's been kind of a tough year. It feels like every time a new week comes around and I think it's going to get better, it doesn't. And this thing happens and that person does that and that happens and this thing comes our way. And I think I allowed those things in my life to keep me from saying with full authenticity and integrity, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Now, why am I exposing myself like that in front of all of you? Why am I standing up here and saying all these things about my... I mean, I'd like to say I'm perfect at this. That's what I'd like to come to church today and just say, I'm nailing this. Hope you can too. So why am I saying all this? Because if you found yourself this Thanksgiving, maybe you woke up in the morning and had a little moment of thankfulness, or maybe around the dinner table you went around and shared some things you were thankful for. If you were the kind of person who was like me and couldn't actually get to, I can thank the Lord with every part of my being, nothing held back, all in, all out thankfulness, then maybe this message will help you like it's helped me, all right? So I'm calling this all out thankfulness. I'm going all out to be thankful to the Lord because I want to say that I am thankful with my whole heart, that I'm leaving no place uncovered. He can have every part of me with full conviction. I am completely thankful. I'm going all out. I like that idea of going all out. There's lots of things in life that we go all out for, right? They say he left it all out on the field. He went all out for that. And some of you are going all out to get the grades so you can be valedictorian. And some of you are going all out on the athletic field to get your achievement. And some of you are going all out for your family. You do anything, nothing left uncovered or undone. And this is one of the things we want to be going all out for, thankfulness. It expresses my understanding that God is in control of everything and that he is working for me. So this psalm, 10 verses in Psalm 111, it's what we call a theocentric psalm because every verse is about God. The whole psalm is centered around God. That's pretty awesome. It's a whole psalm about God, who he is, how he works, and so this proposition statement that the psalmist has left to us, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright, you know, with my family in the congregation here at church, when I worship, every part of me, my whole heart. He then leads into kind of three mega reasons why we could honestly say to the Lord, I am thankful with my whole heart. And he gives three big reasons. Here's big reason number one. God is working. I will not withhold my thankfulness. God is working. Verse 2. Everybody have their Bibles open, by the way? Everybody in? Psalm 111? So, sounds like two people. Everybody in Psalm 111? Ready to go? Mark, okay, good. Here we go. Psalm 111, verse 2. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Five times in 10 verses, they use the word works to talk about what God is doing. And what are God's works like? Well, it says here, his work is splendid. It says his work is majestic. That they are wondrous works. That they are memorable works. That they are done by a gracious and merciful God. Isn't that awesome? That God is at work in the world. Is that a hard thing for you to hear? That God is at work in the world? When I say God is working in the world, can you immediately call to mind all the ways that God is working in the world? Can you see it? Sometimes we have a hard time seeing that God is at work in the world, right? Because we watch the news. We watch CNN and Fox News and MSNBC, and now they have this little, I like this little news feed that comes right up on my phone. I can see any little news that comes up. But I got to tell you, every story that comes up on here, every story I watch on TV, it's the same story, just a different kind of outcome. People are bad, and they do evil things. People do stupid things. People do horrific things. People do murderous things. People do all kinds of things. Well, I got to tell you, I wasn't very old, maybe 5 or 6 before I figured out that's how life works. People are bad, and they do stupid things. That's every single news story ever of all time. And it's in front of us all the time. And every time I read one of those stories or hear one of those stories, I think about what happened in Egypt with that mosque. It just, my thankful heart just sags. Because that's all I'm thinking about are all the stories about how, not how God at work, but how man is at work and all the things that man is doing to really do a number in this world. And so sometimes I wonder, is God actually at work? How could I be thankful? I mean, I'd be happy to be thankful if I knew God was working, but is he indeed working? Is God at work in the world? Well, let me give you a couple ways God's work, I believe, is evidenced in the world. God's work is evidenced in the created world. In the world in which he made, the world in which he created, if you just pause and look around, you will see that God is at work. I mean, it's unbelievable, the changing seasons, the storms. I'm an outdoorsman. I like to sit outside for hours on end and just in nature and the trees and the birds and the animals and all of it and to take it all in and see how God is at work in the world. And if you just would stand outside for even a minute and look at the stars in heaven, you see the different phases of the moon. You see the sun come out. It should cause you to marvel and be amazed by how God's created everything. Since I was just a boy, I've been amazed by God's handiwork in the outdoors. I've just always experienced it, saw it, believed in it, was thankful to God for what he has done in the world. I really, really, really love the old hymn we sang this morning. It's like my favorite hymn of all time, How Great Thou Art. Don't you love that song? That's going to be at my funeral. My wife already knows. That, How Great Thou Art. I mean, really, I found a version by Jennifer Hudson this week. It's so good. How great thou art. And when I was a kid, those verses were written on a big, huge wall hanging at our church I grew up in. And because I'm a pastor's kid, my parents were always the last to leave. I had lots of time to just stare at that thing, take it all in. And I got to say, verse 2 is one of my, they're all great 4 verses. They're all amazing. But Pastor Jake did not sing verse 2 today. So do take it up with him later, I think. I'm going to read this out of my, this is the hymnal. We had hymnals when I grew up in church. They were the thing that said, they didn't put the words on the screen. So they either gave this to me or I'm borrowing it. I don't know which. Let's hear that first verse again. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Verse 2, when through the wood and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. See, that's the thankfulness that wells up in my heart when I see God at work in the created world. But Pastor Jake probably knew there's not a lot of great outdoors people here who don't find God working all the time in the world. So you just cut that out. So how about this? You're like, I don't know. I'm not buying it. All right, how about this? God's work is evidenced in his created people. God's work is evidenced in his created people. Because we're born sinful, we have a natural bent to do whatever we feel like doing. Live in the flesh. If we want to hurt people, we get ahead, we just do what we want. And we're selfish by nature. And so when you see a Christian, when you see a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's working in their life, and then you see them exhibit selfless love, you should marvel at that and say that's only because God is working in their life that they would ever be able to love that selflessly. When you see someone exhibit self-control, when you see someone overcome addiction, that isn't even natural. That's supernatural. That's God at work in that person's life. And that should cause you to be thankful. And I don't even have to look around to see what God's doing in other people's lives to make me marvel. I just have to look in the mirror because I know what I'm like. So any good that comes out of me is just the awesome work of the Holy Spirit indwelling in me. And that causes me to just say, thank you, God, that you're taking over. Thank you, God, that you're at work in me doing what I could never do in and of myself. Thank you, God, for the way that you're working in me. It's a marvelous, wondrous work of God. It's wonderful. And how else is God's work evidenced? God's work is evidenced in massive turnarounds in people's life. How many times, Pastor RT or Pastor Britt, have we prayed with people at the front of this very church who've needed healing, only to have them come back a week later or 2 weeks later and say, I went to the doctors and they can't find it anymore. That's supernatural. That's God at work. I have seen in my 18 years of serving the Lord here more marriages healed that I thought were going to come to a crashing halt. No way that's going to be changed and saved. But God intervenes and changes hearts. I have seen people with situations in their life that were like a mega mountain to them. And we all thought, there's no way that will be moved. But through prayer, one day, it just crumbles to the earth. And that's saying nothing they could ever have done in and of themselves is what God did for them on their behalf. God is at work in the world. And when we see God, we're at work in the world, we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you, God, for how you're at work. It's wondrous. It's majestic. It's splendid. I will study it. So here's my question. I don't doubt that God's at work in the world, but does God really want us to thank him? That sounds kind of crass, doesn't it? Does God really want us to say, thank you, God, whenever he intervenes and does a good work in our life? Does he want us to say thank you? Is that a thing he's looking for? Is like he too big for that? Does God want us to say thank you to him, you know? Now, we won't turn to it now for lack of time. But in Luke chapter 17, you can read it for yourself, verses 11 through 19. These 10 lepers, Jesus has an encounter with these 10 lepers. Now, if you know anything about leprosy, you know it's incurable. There was no cure for that. Once you had it, you went to a leper colony, you were out. Nobody can heal you. Nobody can fix you. No one can do anything. It's a painful, miserable life. And these 10 men know they're going to be stuck in this forever. Then they have an encounter with Jesus Christ, and he miraculously, supernaturally heals them, makes them whole and clean. And the story says they all run off, so excited about what happened, ready to go on with their life, going to go find my family.
And this is that one comes back. One comes back, and he comes back to see Jesus and to say to him, thank you. Isn't that awesome? And Jesus highlights that as part of the story, that he came back to say, thank you. He said, hey, your faith has saved you. Nine guys ran off healed. One guy ran off healed, and he had Jesus. And I think we miss the opportunity too many times where God does something awesome in our life. We're just like, finally, that's done. And on I go. With no pause in any moment to spend time saying, thank you, God. Telling everybody, can you believe what he did for me? This is awesome. God is at work. I will not withhold my thankfulness. Let me give you a couple ways we just stay all out thankful. I like these things with our senses. I have eyes to see. Hope you're looking for ways that God is at work. If you're looking at the news, you'll never find it. If you want to look for ways God's at work, come to church, get in a small group, meet people. Frankly, if the news got a hold of a God at work story, they'd probably just ruin it anyway. But he is working. He's working all around us. Do you have eyes to see it? Another way to stay all out thankful is just to set your mind on it. Set your mind to be thankful. Wake up in the morning saying, I'm going to set my mind on being thankful today. I tell you, it makes a big difference when you set your mind on it. I'm telling you, Bethany and I'm coming up here being truthful. So I'm just not having a great year this year. And even when I got ready to preach this message Saturday morning, I was still preparing for the message. And I went online to pay a bill. And I realized we have a problem. And I called Chase. Bethany and I had to go down to the bank. Somebody in Florida went to the branch as me with my account number and my ID, and they basically took all my money. So we were sitting at Chase Bank yesterday afternoon, just a couple hours before I preach, and I'm like, so freeze all my accounts, take away my debit card. I got to restart from zero, and it was just a pain. Do you know what I'm saying? Just like a big pain. So, you know, Bethany and I are driving home, and both feeling a bit like, oh, another thing, of course, just another thing. Here it is, another thing here. And so my wife, in a very sweet way, says, all right, preacher man, you're about to preach a message in a few hours. Anything that'll help us in your message right now? All right, baby, just put me on the spot. I said, yeah, you know, my message is about being all out thankful, all the time thankful. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do it right now. So I actually said to my wife in the car, well, you know what? I'm really, really thankful that Chase is going to find a way to get us all the money back. I'm not out the money. I'm actually going to have all the money back. It's wonderful. And the person we met couldn't have been a nicer lady. She was just so kind and sweet, and she was very smart and competent. And we could have had someone who didn't care or who wasn't that on top of it. But look at the great person the Lord led us to talk to it and kind of look where we're going to move out from here, and we're going to get some things fixed so this doesn't happen again. And I'm really thankful that this came up. And honestly, truly, by the time we got home, like, I was in a different spirit about the whole thing. Because I had set my mind to be thankful even when it kind of stunk. Now we got to figure out how to get gas. Because is there another way to pay other than putting the plastic thing in the... Is there another? Or you prepay with cash? Now pray for me, because I have to see the Little Debbie snack cakes when I get gas. You have to walk inside. More temptation. Say. Here's the third thing. Keep your memories sharp. You know, you have so many, in your own life, you have so many God at work stories already. Ways that God has worked for you. Those should be right front center, always thinking about them. But somehow, if we're not careful, they fall into the recesses of our mind, a place where we can never bring them back again, or they're not on instant recall. But you got to keep those memories fresh. Be thinking about them, talking about them. Remember what God did. Remember what God did. Remember how he intervened. Remember what he did. Remember what we saw. Remember who he did. Remember. Fourth, make sure your heart stays soft. So our hearts can become hard pretty fast. Things go bad. Things don't go right. It doesn't work out our way. We get pretty upset. Our hearts become a little bitter. It's really hard to be thankful when your heart's not in a great place. And then make your lips proclaim thankfulness. You should be the kind of person who's walking around all the time just being like, I'm so thankful for my job. I'm so thankful for my wife. I'm so thankful for my kids. Look how amazing they are. I'm so thankful for this house. Look what God provided. I'm so thankful for this food on the table. I'm so thankful that I have clothes to go on. And I'm so thankful my car still runs. I'm so thankful for the friends he brought to me. I'm really thankful for my small group. I'm just, should be the kind of person just always, because every time I say it, it goes in my mind. And I'm like, that's true. I need to hear that again. Do you know what I'm saying? People should think you're on something. Do you know what I'm saying? He's saying thank you so much. Yeah, I'm on Jesus. I'm on the Bible. That's what I'm on. It's awesome because God's at work, so I will not withhold my thankfulness. Number two, here's the second thing we're going to see right now in the text. God is providing. I will not withhold my gratitude. God is providing. Verse 5, he provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. A little turn here for how big his works is. It says here, he provides food for those who fear him. What kind of food is that? Is that spiritual food he's talking about? Is that like, I provide spiritual food, something for my children to feast on? Well, of course, that's a true statement in Scripture. Of course he is. That's not exactly what the text is talking about. The text is actually talking about food on the table to eat. I love how it gets personal so quick. Not just that he's at work in the world, but he's at work for me. That he's providing for me. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. I'm providing food for my children. I remember my covenant forever. Now, what's this covenant here? A covenant, you know, was a promise two people enter into. I promise I'll do this. Now, some people break covenants, right? I've done a lot of weddings. At a wedding, I'll say something like, as these two have covenanted together in Christian marriage, and then some people break the covenant. I wish they wouldn't, but they do. But here's the cool thing about God. He's never broken a covenant promise yet. And in the Old Testament, he really made four really big covenant promises for people. He made a big covenant promise to Abraham. They would make him a great nation, make his name great. Your people, the Israelite nation, made a big promise to Abraham. Made a big covenant with Noah about not flooding the earth again. Made a big covenant with Moses as he led the people out of Israel. And he made a big covenant with David. Those are kind of the four big covenants in the Old Testament. So he says here in the text, I will provide food for those who fear me. He remembers his covenant forever. Well, which covenant is this? This is the Abrahamic covenant. Look at the hint is in verse 6, in giving them the inheritance of the nations. He's saying, I'm remembering the promise I made all the way back to your father Abraham, that you're my children, I will lead you, I will care for you, I will provide for you, I will take care of you. He provides food for those who fear him. And who's the one who's providing it? Verse 7. The works of his hands are faithful and just, and his precepts are trustworthy. It's established forever and ever to perform faithfulness and uprightness. I mean, honestly, who is like that but God? I mean, the longer you live in the world, the more you beat people who really aren't that faithful, are they? Kind of come and go, with you, not with you. Some of us have met a lot of people who aren't very just. Not to us. They're unjust, unfaithful. We get a little discouraged. We get a little careful around people. But we don't have to be that way with the God of the universe because he is faithful and just. How he rules is perfect. How he provides is spot on perfect. That he is completely faithful, completely just, working everything out with faithfulness and uprightness. I can trust him. He provides food. Somebody came to church today, you just needed to hear this verse. Because you're not sure how you're putting food on the table this week. And you needed to hear a verse that God provides food for his people. That ain't too small of a concept for you. You just need to hear that promise again. And some people came to church and need to hear this verse because you have gotten fooled into thinking you provide food. You went and got the job. You went to the grocery store. You put the food on the table. I did it. What do you mean God provides the food? I provided it. Hope you don't say that out loud, because he might remind you who it all came from. He provides food. He's providing. So I will not withhold my gratefulness. I'll be grateful for everything. Does anybody know what this dish is called right here? Do you know what this dish is called? Does it have a proper name? Yeah. Somebody said Pyrex. I know it as a casserole dish, right? That's a casserole dish. And now when my wife and I were kind of more on the newly married stage of life, you know, our dinners a lot of night were casserole. That, noodles, probably some cream of mushroom soup. If we were living large, some hamburger in there. Come on. And a little, we'd have a little glass of water, and we'd have some casserole, and we'd have a prayer of gratefulness. And then the next night, I'd sit down at the table, and then I had leftover casserole. And the next night, I had a little more leftover casserole. Lots of times, I remember, four nights in a row, that's what we could have. That's what the Lord had provided for us. This one casserole, we were going to get the most out of it we could. And I, Bethany and I have a habit now for almost 23 years of marriage that we don't have a meal without saying that how grateful we are to the Lord for providing for us. And then, you know, I remember the day when things got a little better and we could have chocolate cake. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful. And when life was real good and God was really being good to us, Oberweis eggnog in the fridge. Yes, sir. Oberweis eggnog. Hallelujah. But I would hope that your prayer is no different whether you have casserole or chocolate cake. Thank you, Lord, that you have provided this for us. And I know people who have leftover casserole lots of nights who have amazing, grateful prayers to God, gratitude. And I know lots of people who live on chocolate cake and eggnog would never think once to thank the Lord for where all that came from. So he's providing for us. Should we be grateful? Should we be grateful for his provision? So let me just remind you back to the Israelites again. You can read this later in your own study from Exodus 16 and then Numbers 11. Moses leads the people out of slavery. They're begging God. So he sends them Moses. He miraculously gets them out. They get out. Now they're hungry. Now they're like, well, you know, Lord, you got to give us something to eat here. What are we going to eat? Come on, Moses. We're all hungry here, Moses. Moses. Lord, we got, so Lord, like, because he loves his people and because he provides, did this miraculous thing called manna. And every morning they'd get up and there'd be food on the ground. It kind of tastes like coriander seed. And they'd scrape it up off the ground and fix it and cook it and eat it. And they had all the food they could ever want. They didn't just do it one day or 2 days. He did it for years. Except for what happened to the people? They forgot how desperate they were for food. Then like, well, when are you going to make the manna taste like chocolate cake? Like, we're tired of this. When are you going to give us something different? Is this really it now, God? Just manna? Same thing every day off the ground? This is our whole life now? Just manna, God? This really what you did for us? They had the audacity to say, we might want to go back into slavery, because there they had meat pots. Fresh cucumbers. Who cares that we live in freedom? We have to eat manna. So the Lord gets upset. When's our meat coming? We want meat. So the Lord brought quail onto the ground. Everyone ate. And this is while the meat was still in their teeth. The Lord's anger was kindled. I have provided for you. And you have the audacity to grumble against me? Like what I've done for you isn't good enough? You had nothing. And I gave you food to eat. And you're grumbling about what I gave to you? He's providing for me. Will I be grateful or will I withhold my gratitude? For some reasons, I think we lack gratitude. I'll give you a few. I think we lack gratitude, number one, because we think we did this. We think we accomplished this. We worked for it. We worked, got it done. I made this happen. This is all me. Me, myself, and I got this done. Verse 5, he provides food for those who fear him. Number 2, I just take things for granted. It's not that I think I did it. It shows up every day. I think this is like when you're 16 or 17. Like, well, for 17 years, I mean, there's breakfast on the table and dinner on the table and there's clothes on my back and my parents are probably going to give me a car. And I mean, stuff just happens. It's what it's like to be me. It's pretty amazing to be me. Life is to all of our students here who I love y'all so much. If that's your life, you got a pretty good life. Pretty great parents who have really worked hard for you. Don't you forget that the Lord is the one who's providing for you. And don't ever take anything for granted. Everything you have is from the Lord. I think we have too high expectations. Well, I'll be thankful when I finally get chocolate cake and eggnog, but we have casserole over here and I can't find a way to be thankful yet. I think I deserve, I think he owes me, I think I've worked hard for. Be very careful that your expectations, I need this guy's house, I need this kind of car, I need these kind of, when I have this, when I have that, then I'll be grateful. But until then, I just got driving this old thing and I got this old. Your expectations are too high. And I think one of the biggest reasons we lack gratitude is because we lack a prayer life. If you're not praying, I would have a guess you're not grateful. Because prayer brings us to our knees to the point of both saying, thank you, God, for all you've done, and hey, Lord, I'm so desperately dependent upon you. And if that's not part of your life, I would guess you're not very grateful because you think you have no need of him, which is why you're not praying to him. You forget that he's the one that provides. So I think the psalmist already has given us two pretty big categories. I will thank the Lord with my whole heart. He's at work and he's providing. Wow. Then he's like, well, in case you're not there yet, let me just give you the big one. You saved the best for last. Now, if you're not thankful yet, verse 9. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. He sent redemption to his people. Now, we're in the Old Testament. This is a psalm. What's he talking about? He's talking about the redemption of God to the people, leading them out of Israel, out of Egypt, leading the Israelites out. But I have mine underlined in red for Jesus, because I know that he didn't just redeem people out of slavery in Egypt. He has redeemed me out of slavery to Satan. We have been redeemed. Okay, we have been redeemed, y'all. He is redeeming his people. If that doesn't lead you to thankfulness, I don't have enough. That's the end of the psalm now. If that doesn't lead you to thankfulness, he's like, well, what? That's it. He's redeeming his people. I love that. God is redeeming. I will not withhold my joy. God is saving. God is changing. God is. The fact that God, who's the awesome God we've been learning about in Psalm 111, the God who just said, holy and awesome is his name. That God, the God of the universe, creator God, almighty God, sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to planet Earth with one goal in mind, that he would give up his life to save yours. Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life, was crucified for you. The Bible says that God offers a free gift to every person. It's eternal life through his son, Jesus. That he would like to redeem you. What does it mean to redeem you? Well, he wants to make you new. I needed to be redeemed. I was a sinful person carrying around a lot of guilt and a lot of shame. And I knew who Jesus Christ was, but for a lot of reasons, I refused to come to him. I didn't like his mission. I didn't want to submit. I wanted to do things the way I wanted to do things. But I eventually just came to the end of all that nonsense and came to the cross of Jesus Christ and laid it all down there. And I confessed all my sin and I acknowledged him as the Lord of my life. And that is the day I was redeemed. See, Jesus Christ died for all people, but it doesn't happen for you unless you choose it. And you might be sitting here this morning as one of the people thinking, well, I'm not really truly thankful. I've not had joy in a long time. I don't know what it means to be grateful. I can't offer you any of the promises in here unless you choose to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Because if you don't, it will just bring great sadness. Luke. Chapter 16. A young man comes to Jesus and he's wealthy. And he says to Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, give everything, give it up, give it all up. But he had a lot of money. And he wanted his money more than he wanted salvation. The Gospel of Luke says he walked away sad. He walked away sad. And unless he finally made the decision to turn to Jesus, that's what he was. But he didn't not turn his life over to the Lord because he couldn't. He wouldn't. I don't want to give up what is mine. I don't want to give up. I don't submit to anybody. I don't confess anything. I don't acknowledge I'm wrong in front of anybody. I've said enough good things. I've done enough good things. I'm going to get to heaven on my own merit. The Bible preaches that exact opposite message. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. There is no one righteous. No, not one. Jesus Christ came to bridge the gap between you and God. Our sinfulness has separated us from God for eternity, but Jesus Christ has made a way. And if you have made the decision to turn from your sin and embrace Jesus as Savior, you are one of the redeemed. And that ought to bring you great joy. I love 3 John 4. There's no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. There's no greater joy than to see your spouse be redeemed, to see your kids be redeemed, to see the parents be redeemed. There's no greater sadness than to have someone you love in your life continue to refuse to come to the gospel. It's a great weight. It's deep sadness because you know they could be freed if they would simply ask. But looking at my own life and seeing where Jesus Christ has brought me, that he made me new, that I'm no longer enslaved to sin, but I'm free in Christ, that I have a hope and I was despairing before, that I have a future when I was going nowhere, that the guilt and shame I carried are gone. That should bring you right back to the root of, I will thank the Lord with my whole heart. Look what he has done for me. Look how he has changed me. Look how he has redeemed me. I have such a great joy in my life because I have been redeemed. He is redeeming his people. So I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's bringing you down. I don't know what's keeping you from being all out thankful. But I want to just bring you right back to Jesus Christ. Just say, if you just spent a moment with him, could it just rekindle a new joy and thankfulness in your life to know, if I had nothing else, but I had Jesus Christ, I have everything. And couldn't that just be enough for me? Couldn't that just bring my complete thankfulness to know that God is working and I will not withhold my thankfulness? I'm not going to withhold it anymore. He can have all of it. God is providing. I will not withhold my gratitude, not to the Lord God Almighty. And he is redeeming. I will not withhold my joy.